Hello and welcome to the July 20th edition of the Laughing Place podcast. That happens to be my absolute favorite edition of the podcast because that is the birthday of my lovely and talented wife, Rebecca Mosley. So happy birthday, Rebecca.
Thank you.
And before we begin, podcast@laughingplace.com or 866-718-9408. Let us know what you're thinking on any of the topics we talk about today or anything we've talked about before. And I will now go around our little round table of Disney experts. And these three people.
Yeah.
Exactly. Say hello.
That's like the experts, and none of them showed up.
Captain John, nice to have you back.
Ahoy there, mateys. I've returned, and I'm back and better than ever.
All right.
Yay.
Good. What's your name? Fanboy?
Hello. Hello.
That's it?
Goodbye.
Hello, hello.
Oh, dude. That commercial's on way too much out here.
And Rebecca.
Hi.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
My name, as I said, is Doobie Mosley. Let's get right to the show. We've got we got another show. Three days ago, this goes up, was Disneyland's 52nd birthday. Happy birthday, Disneyland.
Yay.
Birthdays are magical. They come but once a year.
That's enough.
Just a while, listeners, it's next year, Disneyland's birthday.
And so happy birthday, Disneyland. Also, as always, on July 17th, some Laughing Place readers get together at Disneyland to have the big annual meet and the spectacular Golden Doobie Awards. Unfortunately, Rebecca and I couldn't be out there this year, but we have been out there most of the previous years, and it is a blast. We got one nice note from one of our loyal listeners, Pirate Princess. Hello, podcast gang. This is Pirate Princess. She says, I have now determined that the X's are silent, so I'm glad she helped me out there because I tend to say X, Pirate Princess X. Anyway, I just want to thank you for your amazing job with the site and the podcast. I had the most fun I've ever had at Disneyland with the wonderful Laughing Place members I met on the 17th at Disneyland. You all were missed. Hope to see you there next year. So glad you had a great time, Ms. Princess. As I said, we've been to a lot of meets before. We know the people that put it on, which are not us, by the way. We just go and have fun. But the people that put it on do a really, really good job. And the people that read Laughing Place and participate in the community are a bunch of really nice people, and we're always happy to hear about the great things that occur in the community, both online and at the parks and the various meets, frankly, around the world. So thanks, everyone, for all the hard work in putting that together. And sorry we couldn't be there. Maybe next year. And glad everyone did have a wonderful time at the annual Laughing Place meet and the Golden Doobie Awards. I don't know if I won one this year. I sure hope so because I like to keep my button collection going.
I think you're a Hall of Famer or something. Oh, they give you a special title.
The honorary.
This year,
Do you really want a button, a statue of you?
Yeah. This year, usually it's a...
Oscar never won any Oscars.
Not even Meyer? Or what's it, Chloe? Cleo?
Cleo, yeah.
Yeah, Chloe. Usually the Golden Doobie is a picture of me made to look really bad by making it all gold-like.
Yeah, that's what makes it look bad.
It's usually Doobie doing something very embarrassing.
Yeah, sure.
Like wearing the Disney's California Adventure pink dinosaur hat with silly glasses or wearing a silly... It's usually some silly hat.
And that's hard because it's hard to get throughout, every year, get a picture of Doobie doing something silly.
Oh, yeah, because he never does anything silly.
Well, apparently
silly.
It was hard because this year they didn't have a picture of me. They did a drawing, so...
Ooh, fan art.
Yeah, but apparently it's Rebecca's responsibility this year to make sure there is a silly picture of me available for next year's Golden.
Oh, okay. Sorry about that, guys. I'll make sure I have one.
By the end of the week.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, Disneyland themselves did not make a huge deal out of the 52nd birthday, which is surprising because 52 is what? That is Teflon or...
Oh, stop.
Pulp, something like that.
That would be anniversaries. They don't have something like that for birthdays, do they?
Oh, that's right. Birthdays are birthstones.
You get candles.
Candles. Okay. Anyway, Disneyland did not make a big deal out of this birthday, and Fanboy had some idea of why maybe they didn't,
Well, later on that, at 4:45 they had the college band and Mickey, Minnie, and some other celebrities of that stature.
They don't get much bigger than that.
No, that's, Goofy.
Taller, but not big.
Oh, okay. Never mind. At 5 o'clock, the city council met, the Anaheim City Council, to discuss the referendum regarding the rezoning of the rezoning. So trying to basically keep the Disney-sponsored movement to overturn the decision to make residential inside the Anaheim Resort. So that was you know, front page headlines of the Orange County Register, and they thought maybe celebrating 52 years of Disneyland with all the major media, they would automatically go to and look what Disney's doing about affordable housing. That connection would be too easy to make, so they probably just try to keep it low key, kind of like what they did with Winnie the Pooh when the Schlesinger battle was going on. They never really announced that they were even building an attraction. So,
it's really funny.
So, and the sad part is that they ended up delaying the vote 2 weeks. And it's over the weekend, there's reports in the paper saying that Disney and SunCal, the developer, reached a deal. And SunCal's like, yes, we're talking and reaching a deal. And Disneyland's like, no, we didn't. So I'm thinking that SunCal just wanted to delay the vote and was saying by getting the message out there that they were talking. And that's what the city council said. Well, I read in the paper they're talking, so maybe we should delay the vote. To which the mayor, Kurt Pringle, was like, they're not the city council. They don't get to make the deal. We're the city council. We make the decision. And so they do have to make a vote eventually to decide if they're going to overturn or put it on the ballot. But I think SunCal is trying to get someone to buy their land at a very overpriced cost. Because, you know, it will cost Disney a lot of money to do the political campaigning regarding getting the vote. But at the same time, the land, this housing is so short in Anaheim that has more value as residential than what is a hotel. So Disney probably doesn't want to pay what SunCal wants, and it just gets ugly.
Do those meetings, I know they broadcast them live on the net, do you know if they archive them there as well?
Yes, they do.
Go listen and just fast forward to the part where it's time to make the decision on whether or not to postpone the vote or not, and them trying to
the last half hour, I think.
Yeah, and them trying to understand exactly the procedure they're supposed to follow, and you'll have a lot of confidence in this city council's ability to make such an important decision.
It's funny because you're not voted to the city council because your knowledge of points of order and things like that. So, you know, I mean, while Congress has, you know, staff and everything, when it comes down to having a city council, they're, you know, I mean, Anaheim's not a huge city, so they have, like, some guy there that tells them, well, this is actually what you have to do now. So make sure that they get all the legalities right. So I'm guessing it's a lawyer, like Anaheim City lawyer. And so he'll be like, well, actually, what you got to do is you got to vote on this point of order to overturn that point to get – it got a little complicated and funny.
Pretty funny.
But I thought it was a quick way to get – once they were done with the points of order, I thought it was a very quick way to get kind of an overview of exactly what are the – issues that are being debated by the what's in the city council men's and women's minds,
right,
in that short period, just listening to their dialogue there. I think I have a much better handle on what the issues are coming down to. I mean, because sometimes it's not actually the issue that's before them that's being voted, that, you know, they're kind of thinking on other things that come into play in it. So it'll be interesting to see where this all pans out.
Rebecca reminds me to mention regarding the meet on Tuesday that it was very nice that the, what are they called, Dream Givers?
Dream Squad?
Yeah, those guys. Dream Squad came by the meet and gave away a wonderful dream to the first 12 people to shoot their hands in the air, a ride on the Lily Bell caboose around Disneyland. And there's a picture on LP Live on the website from the people that were lucky enough to do that. So
that's cool. I don't think I've ever done that.
I think you
have.
I've been on the Lily Bell multiple times.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever done that. Was I with you?
No, actually.
Okay,
not.
See, so I don't
we
think...
We didn't do that on our... No, well, I guess not.
Mm-mm.
Wow. It's
yeah,
cool.
I know. One of these days. It's,
one
you know.
Of these days.
All right, moving along to some other Disneyland speculation, mysage.com, which is...
Not part of the Go Network.
Not part of the Go Network, which is funny, though, because it originally was DIG.
Which is the ticker symbol for the Go Network.
That's quite funny, actually. Had a couple of Disneyland rumors we wanted to talk about. The first one being that...
Are these from Kevin or from Al?
These
are
from
to
Al.
Read? Oh, these are from Al?
From
okay.
Al Lutz of MiceAge.com. And the first one was that the Sleeping Beauty Castle walkthrough diorama attraction thing at Disneyland might be reopening. And that closed after 9/11. Everything that's ever been said was regarding security concerns. And now they're talking about maybe reopening it, obviously, enhancing security with some, as he puts it, some cameras. And making it a little more high-tech, not too much of a change, he says, because then it gets into the it's not wheelchair accessible, and so there's only so much you can do in terms of enhancing it, but certainly making it a little bit more high-tech and
that's really
getting
annoying.
Reopen.
I have a little soapbox. You know, you have an existing attraction. You can't enhance it because it's not ADA compatible. There's no way to make that ADA compatible. I mean, I wish everything was accessible to everybody, but it's sad that you're not able to put the product out there just because it's a physical impossibility.
Okay, but they just did something with the subs where they have, like, the virtual experience. Is that only because it's considered grandfathered in and they're being generous?
No, they could do that for anything.
Well, then,
but on a walkthrough, I mean, you could, I guess, provide pictures of what you're seeing. And that, I mean, if that's, I don't think that would satisfy.
See, I don't understand how, what the difference, perceived difference is between sitting in a sub and viewing stuff and walking through and viewing stuff. You're viewing stuff either way, so I don't understand.
Yeah, basically if you're given a video of what the people on the actual attraction are seeing, which is in fact what the sub is, does that suffice? Yeah.
If it does, then I mean, then there shouldn't be a problem.
Yeah, there's
but
no excuse.
At the subs, because the most of it is projection, you're able to say that that is basically the experience. I think it's different than having a camcorder go through. They walk through, and it's very much not the experience.
I understand what you're saying. Right. That makes sense. So. I gotcha.
At any rate, if they were to update it, I mean, nobody went in there. I mean, I liked it, and I'm not saying it was anything bad, but I mean, what would be the point?
The point, they're not going to invest $10 million on this. It's just a nice aesthetic thing. Everything at Disney is basically labor versus capacity. And there's no labor involved in the Sleeping Beauty walkthrough. So
which is good because there's no capacity because no one goes through it.
Right. So
what is zero over zero?
Undefined.
Okay.
You know what's funny is they've actually calculated a capacity to the Swiss Family Robinson Treehouse and Tarzan's Treehouse. And it actually puts more guests through that than most of the attractions because just guests don't have to wait. It is one of the most popular attractions at the Magic Kingdom.
Wait. By what definition?
The number of guests that experience the treehouse is one of the most popular attractions at the Magic Kingdom.
People go through that thing.
There's always people in there.
I mean, that's the hard part about Sleeping Beauty Castle. I mean, in talking about its popularity, because there's not ever a queue going out, so you can't judge its capacity that way. You know, and you can't see the people going through the castle. So, you know, I mean, I understand. I can't think of very many times when I've gone through the castle where I've felt like I was in there with 25, 30 other people. You know, I mean, it's once or twice. But
I know the turnstile count at Sleeping Beauty Castle was always high.
Well, that's because you and your buddies would go through
don't
and
put me in there.
I know, I'm just kidding. But our friends, whenever we'd walk past it, would spin the thing four or five times whenever we'd walk by. I remember that was one of their.
They really closed it due to the popularity.
Exactly,
they couldn't fit all those people.
Yeah. I'm thinking management knew that and did a calculation of the AP spins and the only attraction deducted that. It's the only attraction with negative people
but,
going.
But I think management would want that because that just management loves it when. Guests turn their turnstiles. In fact, like you'll see managers like when they walk into the attraction backwards, when it would count it backwards, they won't go through it. But when they're like walking out or walking in, that would count them. They go through the turnstile
because oh,
I mean it's just more money for them,
right? Because it helps with their operational budget, the numbers of people who go through their attractions. I'm excited to hear that they're going to reopen it, though, because I thought it's always a neat idea that you can actually go inside the castle. And so that was great. And I hope that this does come about. And I'm glad to hear that they're addressing the safety issue, because obviously it continues to be something that you think of as a target, unfortunately, because it is an icon of Disney culture and in that way, capitalism and excess and all those things.
I'm gonna bring a sleeping bag so that I can... like recreate the Cinderella Castle Suite experience inside.
Well, I'm wondering if maybe Al isn't confusing the Disney Gallery closing with this rumor, and that's what they're really doing, is just turning that hallway that's up there into
a gallery.
Into a magical dream giveaway.
Okay, that's one of the sillier things you've ever said.
Oh, well, I beg to differ.
There's no room.
Yeah.
There's just no
room. Where would you go to the bathroom? Like,
you know what Walt always said.
God bless him.
Let him pee.
Isn't that Roy?
Well, you know what Roy always said.
Yeah,
you can't
I mean,
top
it's
pigs with pigs.
It's too bad that they couldn't No, I'm glad that they can't. I take it back. I'm glad that they can't turn it into a suite. I'm glad that it'll stay something that everybody can walk through.
Yeah, it's a nice little thing that if you notice it, that it exists, then it's nice. But if you don't notice it exists, then, you know, it's just one of those little things that it adds, but yet you're not really going to miss it exactly.
Did you go through the diorama, CJ, with any regularity?
Regularity? Like every time I went to Disneyland, I'd go into the castle.
How about you, FB?
You know, it was open for so brief a time when I was a regular, but I would go, I mean, not every day, but I would go weekly.
R? I mean, I know it's a little more difficult.
I was going
to
say, if it weren't for the fact that it involves stairs, I would have gone more often, but I maneuvered my way up those stairs every night.
I guess
now
it's just me then that never went.
Speaking of sleeping, did you hear about the Disneyland Hotel?
What, the name changes?
Well, but beyond that, as part of this whole DCA revamp, they're looking at, once again, remodeling the Disneyland Hotel, because I think it's that time of the year. And, you know, continuing those whole theme suite concept where they had the Princess Diary suite and the Pirate suite and I guess the Mickey Mouse penthouse and just doing more and more of that. So they're looking at making it more magical. There's also some talk about Paradise Pier Hotel. I don't know if that's going to happen or not. Grand California is pretty safe. That doesn't need a new stucco job.
Intuitively, that seems odd that so much attention is being paid to the Disneyland Hotel as opposed to the Paradise Pier Hotel. It would seem that would be the hotel to magify up, because the Disneyland Hotel is the Disneyland Hotel. It's got the monorail.
But the Paradise Pier Hotel is doing okay because it's the value hotel, and they just rethemed the lobby, and it looks nice actually right now. Disneyland Hotel really cannot figure out what it wants to be.
Okay. It's hard because it's construction with its three separate towers. Yet somehow they need to be a cohesive unit, you know, and you have to kind of carry that magic throughout the whole location. I think it's complicated.
And that whole Jack Rather legacy, I mean, the Bonita Tower still being called the Bonita Tower is just funny to me. Because the little phone booth by Cap'n Croc's Bits and Bites, that's like the little British phone because it came from the Queen Mary, and just all the little weird legacy things that are there just have nothing, you know, Vegas thing.
That's the charm.
No, the Disneyland Hotel for years was riding on the fact that it was the Disneyland Hotel as opposed to being the hotel at Disneyland. Disneyland Hotel had its own brand. It had its own legacy. I mean, they have that book that's written about it. They really need to turn it into a Disneyland Hotel.
The Disneyland Hotel is the only hotel that Jack actually stepped foot in.
How many – we've stayed at the Disneyland resorts numerous times.
Yeah.
How many times have we chosen to spend our money at the Disneyland Hotel instead of the other two?
Well, if you're trying to save money, you go to Paradise Pier, and if you're going to spend money, you go to the Grand Californian.
Exactly.
Why would anyone stay at the Disneyland
Hotel? So how many times have we stayed at the Disneyland Hotel?
One.
Yeah, exactly.
In some little corner room with fanboy on the floor, as I recall.
And how did I end up on the floor, considering I think I paid?
You most definitely paid for the room. And as I recall, I kicked you on the floor, too. You said something I didn't like. I started kicking you.
So here's the question. What would they have to do to it to make you want to stay there?
That's a good question. I don't know why I don't want to stay. The only reason I don't want to stay there is because I can stay at the Grand Californian for, you know, more or less the same money.
You know what the Disneyland Hotel reminds me of? Swan and Dolphin.
But see, the thing is, I love the Disneyland Hotel. I go there. I go to the area regularly. I mean, I love what they've done with the pool and the restaurants and everything. I absolutely love it. I just, why stay there when I can stay at the Grand? But if I were, you know what? If I were a family, which would be difficult because I'm one person, but if I had a family, I probably would choose the Disneyland Hotel over the Grand on a regular basis. You know, that's kind of how I feel. Like the Grand is a little more upscale, and the Disneyland Hotel is a little more family, but they're both, you know, more or less at the same level.
All right. Maybe they'll turn the Disneyland Hotel, like, be inspired by the Annie Leibovitz pictures, and they'll turn into, like, a little couture hotel.
Hey, don't even bring that word into this discussion.
I don't understand why I don't want to stay at the Disneyland Hotel either. It's weird. Because, I mean, I think it's pretty. I loved the decor when they did the John Hench, the artwork on the armoire and the bedspreads and the Tinkerbell. Herb Ryman. Sorry. The Herb Ryman. Fanboy was giving me this look like, what are you talking about? The Herb Ryman sketch that was on the armoire and the headboard. And then the Tinkerbell. Those of you who haven't stayed there, the upper few inches of the room is encircled with a wallpaper of Tinkerbell with pixie dust kind of, you know, she's at one end and it's like she trailed around the room with pixie dust, and at night that glows in the dark. I think that's cool.
Yeah, I like that.
I love that.
You know what? I've been in that area so many times, like the pool area and the restaurants and everything. I don't think I've ever set foot in a room at the Disneyland Hotel, no matter how many times I've been there. And that's just funny to think about. I never really thought about it before, until now.
Yeah, maybe you should get a job in room service.
I think also Disneyland Hotel has something to be desired in guest service.
Mm-hmm. Well, retheming ain't going to fix that.
Well, no, but I think that's part of the problem, too, is Paradise Pier has that sort of nice, sort of, you know, friendly hotel thing going on. Grand California obviously has, you know, that luxury resort thing. Disneyland Hotel always felt like, you know, you're staying at a themed hotel at Disneyland, so you get what you get.
To me, the Paradise Pier Hotel can catch that, what is the Coronado Springs comparison. It's like
exactly.
The Coronado Springs is yeah. Disney enough that if you're a Disney fan, you can stay there and you can be happy with the level of service, the quality of theming and whatnot. But if you're a businessman who isn't really Disney-esque, it's not going to kind of be like, ugh, you know, get Mickey away from me. And then you have the Grand Californian.
So sad.
But they are out there. And then you have the Grand Californian, which is very, you know, it's upscale. So once again, if a businessman, you know, that they would stay there despite the fact that it's Disney. Disney fans will stay there because it's Disney. And I just think the Disneyland Hotel, it's too Disney for the non-fan to stay. And for the Disney fan, I just don't know that it's good enough value for the money for them to go there. Except unless I'm a family, because I think their pool is it's phenomenal.
And the monorail, I mean, that's not to be discounted.
It's not that convenient.
I think now since
they've torn down all those shops that were kind of, you still felt like you were in your hotel. Now the fact that as soon as you step out and you're in downtown Disney with the ESPN zone and all that, I think it has made the monorail feel less convenient. I know it has, because you hear people talk about all the time about how they've moved the monorail station, and it's not. It's just as far from the lobby as it's always been, but it seems so much farther now.
And it's still relatively close to Paradise Pier Hotel if you go out that back door.
So I don't think it gets that edge.
It does. I don't care what you think. One other quick rumor from the update I wanted to mention is Adventures by Disney, which is 2 seconds. What's Adventures by Disney?
A tour group run by Disney.
Okay.
Wow, one sentence. That's great.
I said 2 seconds, not 2 sentences.
Oh, I thought you said 2 sentences. Sorry.
Okay, which not to Disney locations, but anywhere in the world.
There's no Disney locations.
Currently.
Maybe there will be, according to this rumor, which stated that in an effort to appeal to annual pass holders, Jay Rizzullo, who's the head of Disney Theme Parks, who really wants to see Adventures by Disney succeed, is perhaps considering adding Disneyland backstage tours as a part of, I guess, a Southern California or, you know, one of their adventures. And obviously Disney World currently does a lot of backstage tours, but this would be, I'm not sure if this would be done by Disneyland cast members or done by the event. I don't know how it would work logistically, but according to the article anyway, there's some pushback from Disneyland. They're not necessarily so into this idea. And just, you know, real quick, curious what you guys might think.
Adventures by Disney is seasonal, so a lot of the folks that work for Adventures by Disney are actually Disneyland or Walt Disney World cast members. So it's not like it's and many come from guest relations, so it's not like you're really doing anything crazy. I don't think that doing a Southern California Adventure by Disney is a smart idea, because the Disney Institute didn't work like that. I think the charm of Adventures by Disney is doing Disney outside of Disney. So I could be 100% wrong on this, but I just don't see this becoming a major success story. If I had my money, I wouldn't bet on this ever actually happening.
I know that back in your early Disney days, you took a backstage. What did you do?
I would estimate this was 1996. They did a backstage tour, two of them, and I did them both in the same day. The tours literally lasted 3 weeks before they got shut down. And you got to do things like go underneath the track of the Haunted Mansion and the ballroom scene so you could see the actual ghost, which, despite that, I still didn't understand how Pepper's Ghost works. You got to go to the parade room and the another one, the parade building, and then another one of the shops backstage where they build stuff. backstage at the Country Bears, I believe, the Space Mountain Tower, and watch them operate Space Mountain, things like that. I mean, really, really cool stuff. I'm so happy I did that. You got to go on stage with great moments with Mr. Lincoln. You make sure you keep your distance, lest he swat you across the room. It was a very, very cool experience, and as an annual pass holder, I'm glad I did it, and I would not hesitate. Well, I shouldn't say that because I haven't done the backstage tours here, but the concept of doing a backstage tour I absolutely love, and I'm not sure if I would do it, but I love the idea.
I think what might happen is they do backstage tours marketed as Adventures by Disney as a way to bring brand awareness to Adventures by Disney, not do it as part of an Adventure by Disney.
Well, like sponsored by...
Right, like it would be Adventure by Disney Dude and or Dudette. I guess it's going to be a DCA. and, you know, do their thing, and then at the end, you know, if you like more, then... Because Adventure by Disney's not been doing poorly.
Yeah,
I know. I mean, I hate to say Al's wrong, but he is.
Well, I think as he put it, I know he said it's been very well received in terms
it's
of what the public thinks.
It doesn't seem to be getting the numbers, right?
I'm trying to see if I have the exact wording here. He said it hasn't been doing extremely well. He certainly didn't say it was doing poorly or anything like that, but they'd like to see it do better. But it does have great guest response.
He said they're having trouble getting the. It's in the top paragraph. He says, we've mentioned the struggles the Adventures by Disney organization has had in getting its concept of Disney organized tours itineraries off the ground, and so this is to try and boost the exposure and strengthen the connection to traditional Disney vacations, is how he frames the rumor that he presents. The thing that the struggle that I could see with this idea is Adventures by Disney, if it was a Southern California framed tour, if you're going to Southern California, I know Disney is a feature, but you've also got Universal Studios and SeaWorld, and to me is part of my family vacation to SoCal, and I think that would present a unique challenge to Adventures by Disney, whereas their current, most of their other adventures are, I don't know, they're outdoors, They're true adventures and explorations, like you go to Philadelphia
right. And
you tour the Independence Hall, and then you take a train over to D.C. and you do stuff there. I mean, it seems to be a more, I don't know, more exploration, more kind of like, let's all go on this journey together. The places that they go, they have a dude ranch, I think, is another one of them.
Dude ranch.
I'm sorry. and then down in Costa Rica, I know you can go through the jungles of Costa Rica with a guide and whatnot.
Right.
And I mean, and the great thing is these are things that maybe you might shy away from doing as a family because you're not sure what your kids would do. You know, it may not be something that you think your 8 or 9 year old would really get into, but they provide that alternate programming that allows you to do that. I mean, I just read an article the other day about a family that went to Europe, and they had been wanting to go to Italy and Europe and whatever, but they weren't sure about their, you know, kids. So they went with the Disney Cruise Line. And, I mean, it was brilliant. They were able to – the family was able to go see the historical sites that they were particularly interested in that their younger children may not have appreciated, leaving them to do the Disney on board stuff. But then they also had some tours off-site that were – family-oriented as well, so they were able to take their kids to see, you know, some of the sites of Europe, you know, with their kids in a way that's going to be interesting to them and right. Mean more to them. So, it's a great idea. I'd love to take advantage of it. I don't have kids, so I don't have to worry about that part. But it just, I don't know, there's something safe about the concept of taking that kind of trip with a Disney tour.
I think the biggest issue they may have trying to do an Adventure by Disney in California is the competition it would provide for DCA, because with DCA, you really don't need to go to the rest of California. It's all right there, from the whitewater rafting to Hollywood.
The one place I could see this happening is Paris.
Oh.
And so, I wouldn't be surprised if what happened is they talked about doing it in Paris and someone from Anaheim got wind of it and was like, whoa, because Adventures by Disney Southern California is just that, there's nothing adventurous about Southern California.
Have you been to Hollywood?
but some people would say the same thing about Philadelphia. What's very adventurous about Philadelphia?
But you're going out in the, I mean, parts of the program is to go out into the colony stuff. I mean, it's more of a transport thing than let's just go to... What Adventures by Disney is not is, let's go to Eiffel Tower, let's go to the Louvre, let's go to this, let's go to that. There's a thread of it. It's not just here, we're going to drop you off at Disneyland, we're going to drop you off at SeaWorld, and we're going to drop you off at Universal, which is what people want to do when they go to Southern California.
Right.
And so I think, we'll find out when they announce the 2008 itineraries what's really happening, but I just don't see that being.
I could totally see myself taking an adventure by Disney in SoCal if they framed it around like a true exploration of California and the spirit. I mean, in essence, take the movie Golden Dreams. From and then kind of turn it into a tour of Disney. So you see the missions. So you kind of deal with that aspect of California. Then you get into the filmmaking, and Disneyland could play a large role in that. And then
give you some LSD and
stop.
And blow you up on a dam.
seriously though, I could see developing an adventurous itinerary around SoCal. I just really wonder if because of the competition, like Fanboy pointed out, mm-hmm. if it wouldn't just be too difficult to overcome. But since I lived there for so long, I could see re-exploring California.
Sure.
As somebody who no longer lives there, I don't think I'd do it as somebody who, if I still lived there, take a tour of it. But now that I've moved away, I could see taking a tour like this to get a different light on where I used to live.
Especially if Whoopi Goldberg were the tour guide. That's all the more reason to sign up. We got a nice voicemail we'll play right now.
Hi guys, this is Pat McCabe, the host of the A Walk in the Park video podcast and longtime listener of the Laughing Place podcast. Now, as you guys know, Ratatouille's been a good success, pretty much in the box office and with the critics. And what I'm going to throw out there is how about an armchair Imagineering segment about how to bring Ratatouille into the parks? All right, thanks guys, love the show.
So, armchair Imagineering, I always turn to my left. Captain John, any Ratatouille ideas?
Any Ratatouille ideas? You know, for once, it's like, I mean, I can't really envision this really being much of an attraction or in theme park implemented at all, except for perhaps like a little exhibit, perhaps in the animation, like section of MGM Studios. But besides that, I can't really. It doesn't seem like it lends itself too well to it. Myself, I mean.
Right. I think they already have one attraction pretty much based on it, with
Beast of Parody.
That's a restaurant, not an attraction. I'm thinking Honey, I Shrunk the Audience.
I mean, those are mice.
Those are mice.
Oh, big difference.
Yeah.
And there's no way that Remy would eat jelly beans, boogers, and pizza.
That's for sure.
Pizza?
Well, it depends if it was, not pizza, but he'd eat flatbread.
Any attraction ideas?
No.
I think it's a dark ride. I think it's a Mr. Toad-style dark ride. You're Remy.
Boring.
You're running through the kitchen.
We've done that exact line
before. Oh, what did you? You said boring.
Yes.
You don't like Mr. Toad?
No, he doesn't.
What is wrong with you?
Wow. You don't like pirates or Mr. Toad?
No, I don't.
You know, sometime we should just have a whole episode on what's wrong with Doobie.
What's wrong with Doobie?
But in this case, I think of it as the film is a Mr. Toad style dark ride. That's what I just naturally
and
think
so
of.
You'd like
you're
be,
the mount, you're
yeah,
the
you're
rat,
riding
you're
as
in
Remy
the kitchen.
And you're running around.
Oh,
okay.
No, the maitre d' goes flying off this way. Oh, no, the dishes are going to fall on my head. You know,
I can see that sort.
I think it would be best done with 2D cutouts as well.
Yeah, no, totally. Yeah, that's exactly what I thought of.
Irony.
Yeah, isn't it?
And I thought they kind of would be stylized like the end credits. You know,
so it would be very arty.
So it would be interesting visuals as you're trying to make your way safely through the kitchen.
Let me ask you, where would you put such a ride?
Oh,
Critter Country?
That's exactly where I thought. But I'm like, Magic Kingdom doesn't have Critter Country. But yeah, Critter Country is where I'd put it.
That cracks me up.
Yep. Or
explain that,
studios.
How Paris flies into backwoods.
I know, it doesn't, except it's a critter.
But where would you put it? That is a good question, because it doesn't exactly. It's not fantasy exactly.
Villain Square, probably more than anything else.
Well, I think that brings up an interesting question that our colleague, Greg Miletic, posed on his blog. Does it make sense to put something like that, not that there's necessarily space or anything, but just thematically, to put something like that in the France Pavilion at Epcot?
No. That's bad.
Why not?
Because you have real Frenchmen working there, running an attraction with fake French people who don't even sound French. And it's just tacky. It's not like,
I mean, do you think the people in El Rio del Tiempo were actually Mexican?
But at least that's still a travel, But they never claim that those three guys are Mexican.
Well, I'm not talking about just them.
But it's still
general,
a travelogue of their
when
country.
When it comes to the attractions, I don't really think it counts anymore. I don't think in Norway the trolls or whatever were they just hired Norwegian voices for it. I think they just had some guy who sounded like a troll and they put him in.
No, but I'm not talking about that. But I'm saying is that at least it's a Norwegian story.
I guess, but I don't know. I mean,
that was the crux of his piece. The World Showcase traditionally has been a representation of the real location.
But I think,
and this would make it a little more of something set in France, but more of a fantasy land. So it's like comparing Fantasyland Magic Kingdom to Germany at Epcot. And traditionally, it's been a representation of the real thing. Or you think it's okay?
But the movie set in France is trying to be a representation of France. So it just is all a representation of something.
No, it's not. I think it's trying to be a Ratatouille attraction would be a fantasy land, a fantasy representation of France, in much the same way that Fantasyland at Magic Kingdom is.
Or the difference between Tomorrowland and Future World.
Right.
In that it's a representation of what's really there. I mean, even El Rio del Tiempo or Grand Fiesta Tour, it's characters taking, you know, fantasy characters, but it's taking you through the real country, whereas there's nothing real about Ratatouille.
See, I don't know about that.
That movie does not
evoke. There are locations in the movie that are from France. You could go there and look at them.
It's the same thing
as El Rio del Tiempo. I mean, I think it's the same thing.
I wouldn't mind Remy giving you adding Remy to Impressions de France and have him just tell you, okay, we're going to Versailles, we're going to this, we're going to that. But having a crazy dark ride with Ratatouille.
But it's based on the culture and everything. I don't find much of a difference.
Having gone to France, it is. I don't watch that movie and say, I mean, it might look like France, but it doesn't represent France.
I haven't been to France, so I can't speak to its authenticity, but I've read several people who don't feel that it represents an authentic France. I don't, like I say, I can't speak to it myself because I haven't been there. I haven't gone and asked the French cast members and,
right,
you know,
I mean,
do you embrace this film as representing your nation well, you know, so I don't know.
I mean, in the film they tried. I mean, perhaps it didn't work very well.
I don't think that was their intention to represent France. I think France was a setting and they presented a style of France, but they didn't go out of their way to make the movie look French.
Well, whatever.
So yeah, I don't know. But it would strike me as odd to have a non-French story in the France pavilion. And I don't know if that's duplicitous based on what's already there.
I don't think it is duplicitous based on what's currently there.
So, but now you have the characters in the pavilions. Are those all characters? For example, I'm thinking specifically of Belle and Beast being in France. The fact that they are in France. I know the story is set in France. Is it a French tale? I don't believe it's a French tale.
No, I think that is the beginning of this trend, but this would be a much bigger step in that direction.
Because like Snow White and the dwarfs being in Germany, that is a tale that was born out of German roots, as I recall. But I don't believe the same is true for Beauty and the Beast. But I don't know. I have to look at that. I hadn't even thought to question if Beauty and the Beast belonged in France.
But to me, Beauty and the Beast is much more French. I mean, while they don't play it up as much as Ratatouille, it definitely has a much more French feel than Ratatouille does. In that, you know, Belle, you have Lumiere, who's very, you know, very Marie Chevalier, and it doesn't even take place. You don't know where it takes place. It could take place in the dark forest, while you know, and Aurora is right around the corner. They embrace that little provincial French town, I think, better than Ratatouille embraced Paris.
What you just said was sort of confusing. You said it could have been anywhere, but yet you said it felt like France.
In the castle part, but I'm saying is the beginning part and the sort of characterization of that town seemed more accurate to what they were trying to do in regards to that piece of France than Ratatouille did with Paris.
I don't know. I haven't been there.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
One quick question. Be really quick, guys, around the room. The idea of a Ratatouille, specifically Ratatouille-themed restaurant. Good idea, Rebecca?
No.
Fanboy?
Yes.
Captain John?
No.
And I say no as well.
I'm probably wrong.
How about a Ratatouille spinning mouse? I know he's a rat, but I just was thinking about that. I'm like, oh, I got a spinning mouse ride Ratatouille.
Okay, Captain, what you got this week?
All right, being that Ratatouille is a Pixar film, I'm going to bring up Pixar trivia.
We didn't complete last week.
You didn't complete last week.
So what was last week's question for the
last
people?
Last week's question was at the end of Lifted, there's a classic cinema sound effect in the credits. And the answer would be that it's entitled The Wilhelm Scream, but it's also known as Man Being Eaten by an Alligator.
Which I did see both those answers on the boards. You would never guess who was the first one to post the correct answer.
Pirate Princess?
You would be correct. And guess who was second by 1 minute?
Magnet?
You would be correct.
All right. I mean, this sound effect is probably most noted, most recognizable in Star Wars. There's laser guns firing blasters, and you hear the stormtroopers, fall into the chasm, and it's, that same scream. It's in every Star Wars film, I believe. Mm-hmm. So if you hear it at the credits of Lifted, now you'll know that it's like somewhere in there. It's also in Toy Story when Buzz is knocked out the window. So it's just generally used as standard scream.
It's the John Ratzenberger of screams.
All right, and what's this week?
All right, so here's your quick question. Hands on the buzzers, which don't exist. The imaginary button.
Our signaling buzzers. Devices.
Your signaling devices. Who directed Finding Nemo?
Me. All right. Andrew Stanton.
Okay. And now the question for all you listeners, not the people in here, unlike what they want to think normally. Name the Pixar movies which had blooper reels at the end. Credits. And you can't say anything, Doobie. I tried to prevent it.
Between the time you give that warning and ask the question, I literally forget.
Wow.
We'll call him Dory.
Between the time you ask that question... all right. Well, thanks, Sefton. Post your answers, as always, on the laughingplace.com discussion boards right under the topic that was started by Pirate Princess. And let's see what you think. Last week we answered what I thought was a really interesting question. We had someone who goes to Disney World regularly and was making their first trip to Disneyland, and they asked for our recommendations. This week, we got the following question in email. Hi, Doobie, Rebecca Fanboy, and Captain John. I've been a Disneyland attendee for a few years. I live up in Washington and can drive down to Anaheim in a day, enjoy a couple of days at the park, and drive back home for a pretty cheap price, being an annual pass holder. What are your recommendations to a Disneyland lover considering going to Disney World for the first time? Also, could you include your thoughts on why I should invest the extra time and money to go to Disney World rather than making another trip or two to Disneyland next year? And I really like the second part of that question. Who wants to start convincing a Disneyland fanatic that they need to go to Disney World?
I don't know how you wouldn't not convince them. It's Disney World. You got four theme parks, and as opposed to the one and a half you got over there, you got DCA and what, Disneyland Half Day Park. and as far as I'm concerned, and I might not be agreed with on this. Disney Magic Kingdom, if you've been to Disneyland, is really not a must-do, but you need to go see Epcot. You need to go see Animal Kingdom. You need to go see Disney Imagineering Studios. You got to see what Disney does when they try and create a brand new theme park that's not in the Magic Kingdom mold.
Didn't they do that across the Esplanade?
No. I love DCA. I mean, I'm not trying to be wrong. My problem with DCA has always been it doesn't have a great definition. You don't really know what it's trying to do. Whereas opposed to Epcot, I mean, you could say it's veered away from that. But it was built as something completely different. And Animal Kingdom is definitely something completely different. And so, see how Disney does a resort a real resort where you have buses that take you from park to park as opposed to the little walkways. And the difference, even if you don't, you stay at an All-Star Music, just going to see the Grand Floridian and what they do there and that kind of stuff. And water parks and all the other stuff that's here. I mean, this is the big version. I'm not saying that they will like it more than Disneyland, but you got it. It's so different in that way.
Anybody else want to add anything to that aspect?
No, I pretty much say that if you frequent Disneyland and you want to come down to Walt Disney World, just don't go to Magic Kingdom. Except at night, maybe just see like the fireworks.
Tell somebody go to the Magic Kingdom, take the train all the way around the Magic Kingdom, so you can get an idea of just how big it is by comparison. Hop on the TTA, in Tomorrowland to just get a, you know, to get a sense of what Tomorrowland's like, ride Carousel of Progress, and maybe ride the Liberty Bell. And then, you know.
Philhar. What? Philhar Magic.
Oh, Philhar Magic. Oh, how could I forget? I love Philhar Magic. But overall, I don't think that if you're pressed for time, I would say, you know, that'll give you a flavor of it. But to come here, it's like Disneyland is very special. And when you get in your, you park your car, you get on the tram, and you walk in those gates and you step inside that park, and it's like outside world disappears. Well, imagine if instead of it being kind of across the street, it's several miles away, the real world. I mean, it's just hard to... I still can't get over the size of Walt Disney World and just how long it takes me to get from the Magic Kingdom to Disney's Animal Kingdom and how many hotels there are here and just how many people are here having a Disney World vacation and just... all the cast, I mean, 50,000 cast members that you can, you know, have the opportunity to bump into and chat with and from all sorts of different places. We just spent the other day waiting for a parade talking to a young lady who initially came here on a college program from the Midwest, and now she is now she's moved down here. And she just loves working for Disney and working in this hospitality industry, and it's very neat and special people, I think, who work here, and a lot of them come from outside the area, and I think that creates a unique experience as well.
There is something that you do have to do if you're a Disneyland fan in the Magic Kingdom. Go to Adventureland and, like, stretch your arms out and spin around and realize you're not going to hit anybody else because there's room.
Which might get spit on by a camel.
Yeah, or a leaky-tiki.
Leaky-tiki.
You can, and the I think the single best attraction at the Magic Kingdom that Disneyland lacks is the radio-controlled boats.
They have this at Disneyland Hotel.
But that's different. That's not in the park. That's a totally different experience. Don't even compare.
When you go to Animal Kingdom, you have to check out the Kilimanjaro Safari, definitely. The Finding Nemo musical, and if you like thrill rides, I think Expedition Everest is very different among the Disney coasters.
The newest mountain.
That's all the Lion King.
Oh, Festival of the Lion King is very popular. See, I don't like it, but a lot of people do. And it'll remind you of Disney's Lion King Parade, Disneyland's Lion King Parade, because the floats are reused from there. If you're at MGM Studios, what do you have to hit? You have to hit Tower of Terror and Rock and Roller Coaster. If you like thrill rides.
Lights, Motor, and Action. Great movie ride. You have to hit it.
Be prepared. Be ready that it's an older. The AAs are older. They are. They're just the AAs are older, and you have
to learn anything new.
There's no need to apologize for the great movie ride. It stands alone as a marvel of modern Imagineering.
Jaws.
Okay.
Life Motors Action. I think it.
Really?
Yeah.
See, I don't think so.
Indiana Jones.
One Man's Dream. You can see the One Man's Dream office that used to be at Disneyland.
No, One Man's Dream is nice, though, with the various historical exhibits and models and stuff. A lot of those haven't been available to Disneyland fans before. So that's some special stuff.
What's the must-hit at Epcot?
American Adventure.
Oh, yeah. Duh. Yeah.
Beyond a doubt. I just think that's still so... I mean, I remember that blew my socks off when I came here.
And the new Ratatouille Dark Ride over in Adventure
Kids. Yeah, whatever. No, and you have to make sure that you leave that you set aside time to eat somewhere. Read online, find out which one of the World Showcase restaurants will most appeal to you, and enjoy the food and the cast of that nation. That is so much fun.
And if you get homesick, just hop on Soarin'. You'll fly over Disneyland.
Yeah, exactly.
One thing I recommend if you like this sort of thing like I do and you have a little time is... park at the TTC, take the resort monorail to the Magic Kingdom so you at least pass through the hotels and even get off if you have some time. And then from the Magic Kingdom, after the Magic Kingdom, take the monorail back to the TTC and take the monorail to Epcot. You get a nice view of just how far it is from above and a little bit of overview of the layout of the place. Enjoy Epcot and then go to the International Gateway and take the boat over to MGM Studios. You get to see the whole boardwalk area and a lot more hotels, the Swan and the Dolphin. And again, you get a sense of just how far it is and just how away from the world you are when you realize you've just gone to three parks without getting in any car. You've gone, I don't know how many, 5 or 10 miles, and surrounding you the whole time was Disney magic. And that really hits home for me, just what Disney World is more than any ride or even park does.
But there's so many. I mean, it's hard to tell. People's tastes are so different. So if somebody told me that they were a Disneyland fan and they were coming here, what should I hit? I would find out from them, what is it that you really love about Disneyland? And then I go based on that. If it's somebody who says, oh, well, my favorite thing to do is to walk down Main Street, grab a cup of coffee, listen to the piano player, and catch Fantasmic in the evening or something. Very different list of stuff that I would tell them to do versus the person who says, well, I love to hit Space Mountain, and then I head over to Big Thunder, and then I catch the Tiki Room because, you know, the nostalgia. You know, it's very different, and that's one of the things that I think is so very cool about a Disney vacation is the variety of people that it can appeal to. I don't find that to be the same at other theme parks we visit.
Oh, come on.
No, I don't.
Magic Mountain is for coaster people and people who like to watch people ride coasters.
As long as you don't have any metal in your pockets.
Before we close, I would like to remind everyone that we'd love to hear what you think on a topic we mentioned last week, stuff that everybody else in the world thinks is just the bee's knees when it comes to Disney park stuff, and you think just is no big deal. The one great one I saw, Greg Miletic heard us say that and made a nice blog post, and he said the partner statue. And everyone I've heard who's mentioned that says he's crazy, and that's what I like to hear. So let us know what you think on that. We'll talk about ours, and we'll talk about more of Greg's, and we'll hopefully talk about yours if you get back to us on that before next week.
And who knows, you may find somebody who actually agrees with you, too, so you won't be alone.
Yeah.
Maybe there's somebody out there.
You're
all by myself. Let's see. I think that pretty much wraps up this show. As always, before we end, let's get a final word. Let's start with Rebecca.
I was shocked the other day when I was doing the daily news headlines to learn that the Disney Channel troika of Hannah Montana, Sweet Life of Zack and Cody, and Cory in the House, they had this wish-a-miss, like, hour and a half on Friday night. It was three new episodes, and it ran against, you know, most of the networks are in reruns and whatnot. And it topped the ratings, not only for cable, but also for the networks. And that just blew me away. I understand it's rerun season, so, you know, you got that going on. But, wow, they're huge.
That's a big wow.
That's amazing what the Disney Channel is accomplishing right now in their target demo and whatnot. That's just incredible.
Maybe we'll see the next president of Disneyland come from, like, the head of the Disney Channel. Not Disneyland. Disney.
The sad thing is it doesn't help their ad sales.
Yeah, but those things are merchandise to the hilt, yeah, so think, it ain't like it's...
I think it does.
It's not just... That's generating plenty of revenue.
That's what we should do. We should retheme the Disneyland Hotel to the Tipton from The Sweet Life of Zack
there
and Cody.
There you go.
You know, if you turn that into a Disney Channel-themed hotel, like you have the Hannah Montana wing, the Zack and Cody... Dude, you could not...
Oh, that would be sick.
You could not stop booking that place.
That would be so sick. And the thing is if you did it right, you could swap it out pretty easily.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man, that's just crazy.
You could have the That's So Raven restaurant.
That'd be disturbing.
Cory in the House.
What if you had, like, Hannah Montana and the crew, like, design the bedspreads and whatever so then they could actually sell them, too? Oh, man.
It would be sick.
That would be fun.
Wow.
And
the best part is, annual pass holders would never go anywhere near it. Mm. It would be for real guests every day. And I am an annual pass holder, so don't go getting offended. Captain?
I've got nothing.
Oh, come on. How's that Pirates beta test coming?
Well, don't expect to see it finished until fall. I got an email like a couple weeks ago. It's like, phase one is finished, and you're automatically invited to phase two. It's like, phase two? What have we been doing? It's like, this is a beta test. We're not an alpha test. It's like, phase two, what does it mean? I have no idea, but they're doing phase two of beta testing sometime soon. And they're saying that, you know, we expect it in late fall. Before they didn't even have it like a day set. It's like, well, before it's like, well, Pirates 3 and the game would come out. It's like, whoa, that's way off. But
Pirates 6, maybe.
It still might come out before Pirates 3 ends, I think.
But, yeah, at any rate.
Fanboy?
I just want to congratulate ABC for having the number one tied with Sopranos nominated show for the Emmys.
Grey's Anatomy?
No.
Scrub? No.
Scrub, the international broadcasting company. Thank you. Though produced by Disney.
I have no idea.
Ugly Betty.
She's hideous. Have you?
Hence the name.
I've never seen that show.
It's not your kind of show.
No, it's not.
Are you saying it's
smart,
too slapstick and bass for me?
I'm just saying it's not your kind of show.
Thank you for being kind, honey.
No worries.
It's no Transformers, do we?
Oh, there's
I wish Disney bought that. I went to the Transformers event over at Once Upon a Toy.
I so wanted to go.
What was the Transformers event at Once Upon a Toy?
They gave me a flashlight, but it was actually cool because it was more than meets the eye. It unfolded into like a little robot flashlight.
That's kind of nifty, isn't it?
Yeah.
Was Optimus Prime there?
Optimus Prime was huge.
Oh,
like,
so
I mean, he was like
how big? 9 feet?
How tall is the building?
900 pounds.
It was like he went all the way up to like the ceiling.
Oh, so this wasn't like a walk around?
No. Well, but what happened was he would transform into like Mickey.
That'd be so funny.
That reminds me of the Muppet Vision. You know, the end where
yeah, and then
Oh, you ruined the ending.
Spoiler alert.
The ending is a salute to all countries.
Okay. I'm still waiting. They leave it open for a sequel.
Transformers?
No, Muppet Vision.
Well, I had Transformers, but...
Oh,
I mean, Transformers does, but...
Speaking of spoiler alert, CJ, when do you shut down your life in preparation for Potter?
I've already shut down my life.
Yeah, I've started to.
Because, like, once I saw the report that they accidentally shipped books, it's like, oh, I can't go online anymore.
Yep, it's over.
It's over.
No more computer, no more TV until I'm done with the book.
And then Saturday is, like, when the world stops.
Yep.
When they're all reading it.
Yep.
Wow. Look at this again.
Wow.
I know.
What you guys
it's so
are talking
sad.
About?
It's
Harry
okay.
Potter 7, the last
is
book.
It, thank
Deathly
goodness.
Hallows.
I mean, I like Harry Potter. I read Harry Potter. I've seen all the movies. I'm ready for it to be over. I'm so ready for it to be over.
I just want to be able to read the book without knowing what's going on.
And we've got two more movies to go after that.
But I don't get, the movies are not that big of a deal.
But they're cool, though.
Last one was kind of boring.
The last one was, like, the best one yet.
So
it
what
was
are
the
your...
most, like, close adaption, but whatever.
Podcast at laughingplace.com.
You don't have any final thoughts?
You don't have any final thoughts? Come on.
Podcast at laughingplace.com, 866-718-9408, especially on the stuff you don't like that the whole world thinks is great. And with that,
happy birthday, Rick.
Happy birthday to the person that I do like, but everyone else thinks is great too, my lovely wife, Rebecca Mosley. Tomorrow, talk to you next week. Happy birthday, Rebecca.